I think for women, a lot of them aren't going to care if you're, if they're, you know,
yeah,
not
if they don't try harder.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Take that back.
I do take it back.
I was just,
I know. The first time my girl's 10 years was with the eclipse the other day. She's welcome to another episode of Chrissy Chaos. Today, we have with us, as always, Michael Shane Cannon, Vito Baby Mouth Khaleesi, John the Father Grady, and now we have been blessed with a very special guest who's going to answer some questions, and we've never had anyone like this on the show, and we're all very excited, Chantel the Sexologist Otten. Did I say it the right last name?
Yes.
Nailed it. So you are a sexologist. And so first of all, we start off slow. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't think a lot of people know what a sexologist is. So I'm basically a sex therapist. It's like a fancy word for a sex therapist. Mm-hmm. So my background's in psychology, and then I run a big clinic in Australia where I help people who have questions about sex or any problems. And yeah, I think like I'm a bit of like a sex detective. If you have a problem, I need to figure out where that came from and how we fix it.
Vito has a question that he wanted me to ask you. Vito wants to know, how does he have sex?
Is it possible?
Vito wants to know if he can have sex.
So that maybe we should talk about that later.
$300 an hour.
Yeah.
So that's an educational track then, like, because you said your background is in psychology, yeah. And then you can like, you can kind of get that down to then just be sex?
Yeah, so you do psych, and then I studied my master's in science and medicine.
Okay.
And I specialized in sexual medicine.
Interesting.
And then I studied sexology overseas in the Netherlands.
Sexual medicine, like, is that pharmaceutical medicine, or is that, like, the holistic approach to sex medicine?
I take a holistic approach. I'm not a doctor, so it's more like the science of sexuality, how you study people, their behaviors, etc.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah. My friend has been taking Viagra since he's 17, just for no reason. And then he would take it a lot. He would just say, like, just to prepare, he would take a whole bunch of Viagra and then never have sex.
That's a big headache.
Yes.
That's a very hot erection.
Yes.
To be walking around with all day. That's a lot of hot flashes.
That's literally like standing in the on deck circle with a donut on your bat for years and never taking a cut.
I remember we were in Vegas and he took like four Viagras. He was like, we're definitely going to hang it. We'll get late tonight. And then, you know, he didn't. And then I remember he just had a full boner the whole next day at the pool. I was like, what are you doing? He was like, it doesn't just go down.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he's not okay.
Yeah.
And that's probably like, I don't know, but like I have friends that have taken steroids for so long that their body no longer naturally produces testosterone. Yeah. So like if you take a boner pill for that long, does your dick not naturally get hard?
That's a good point. I don't know.
No, so like you can take Viagra as needed, or you can take Cialis, which is more of like a daily medication to help bring the blood flow down to the penis. And then, yeah, for people who are taking steroids, it is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Is it okay in a relationship to be having sex with your partner but be thinking about someone else?
I think it's very common. I guess it depends on how it makes you feel. And also if your partner notices that maybe you're not as engaged with them.
But my thoughts are my own thoughts,
right?
And they're allowed to be.
Just don't say the other person's name while you're having sex with your partner.
Unless the other person's name is also coincidental.
Yeah, that's
a workaround. I go, Roberto. I'm kidding.
No, look, that's really common. Like, it's the fantasy, right? I think you have to remember that like our minds are so expansive, and just because we have one partner doesn't mean we should always exclusively think about being with that partner. We have to obviously honor the relationship, but if it's your little inner world, then I wouldn't worry about it too much.
What do you think is the most common problem that couples come to you with, like sexually? Like, is there one that sticks out?
I think like desire discrepancies where one person has a higher libido than the other, that's just normal. And probably like lack of desire, but I see so many people for so many different things. Like it can be erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, it can be painful sex, For like women.
John's taking so many notes. He's like,
he's literally clacking on the computer more than I've ever heard. What constitutes a premature ejaculation? Like, is there a time frame?
No,
you know what I mean?
It's when you can't control it.
It's when you just can't. So wait, yeah. People can control it?
What do you mean? Ron Jeremy used to have a countdown.
Anytime yeah. I'm about to come, there is no more certain outcome than me coming.
Okay. Yeah.
There's people that can stop that.
Yeah, that's I mean, cool. you like, we need to help you stop that.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah. Okay, what do I do? yell my dad's
that's
name?
That's a lot of training. Well, you could do that. I mean, it might be a turnoff.
The other day, I wanted to have sex, and my partner was like, no, I don't want to get all undressed and do it because you're just going to, like, come so quick. I was like, no, I'm not. I promise I won't this time. She was like, I have to go to work. I'm not going to – I just don't want – I was like, just do it. And she was like, I don't want to do it. And then I was like, fine, whatever. And then literally I went up into the shower, and as soon as the hot water hit my body, I came everywhere.
Yeah.
And she was like – I was like, she was right. I was like, she would have been so mad because she would have been like, I got all undressed now, and you're done in two pumps when you said you wouldn't be.
Temperature is a big thing. I didn't even know, though, because I think I conceived my second son in the winter, and I think it was during, if I have my dates correct, I just pulled that. There was only this much nudity on my wife's body, full winter sex, pants, and then shirt began, and the sensation of her cold butt cheeks against yeah. my thighs, I spouted off instant.
Or it could be that you have a sexual fetish to Winnie the Pooh.
Or if I've always wanted to have sex with an Eskimo.
Hey, an Inuit.
That's right.
Right? Sex-gamo. We want to be use the proper terms here in front of Chantel.
That's right. Inuit.
So what about toys? I've always, because, you know, like, sometimes I think if you have a partner as a guy who, like, sometimes I'll feel like I can't be better than the toy. So, like, are toys good, not good for relationships? What do you think?
I think they're great. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Like, I don't know if, like, your dick vibrates, but it's...
It does after Elon Musk yes. got a hold of it.
Okay. It does when I'm fucking my Nutribullet.
No, I think it's, like, I think, like, toys are really great to have
right.
there as an extension of your sexual self. They're not there to, like, replace you, because obviously your toys aren't spooning you when you're going to bed. They're not, like, giving you forehead kisses, all the things that we want.
Yeah.
But they're there to bring, like, more pleasure and a lot more fun.
How is there a number where, like, healthy sex, like, how many times should you and your partner be having sex a week? Is there, like, a general number?
There's not a general number. It's, like, individualized, because some people won't see each other that often. Some will see each other a lot. I think that it depends on what sex means to you. But I would say the average person's having sex actually, like, once every 3 weeks or so.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
So that's interesting, because there are times I've been throughout, you know, relationships where, like, if you're not having sex once every 4 days, you know, somebody could feel like... you know, insignificant, and like, what are you cheating on me type devalued. Thing? Like, why are you not attracted to me? And that puts a lot of pressure sometimes on us, where I'm like, it's not that, it's just I'm tired, I don't want to do it. But now to hear once every 3 weeks is actually the norm, it's like I'm better than normal.
Well, I wonder if it's like, I mean, because you're talking about quality and quantity there, like, because you can be having sex every day, it doesn't mean that the quality of the sex is good, right? You can right. walk away being like, oh, that was... fine, but
yeah.
could want something a bit more pleasurable.
Right.
And then you can be having sex like once every 3 weeks, once a month, once every 6 months, and it's like the best sex ever.
What about porn and masturbating? Good, bad? Should we do it? No, because there's everybody's talking about porn now, it not being good, and you shouldn't, and like, don't masturbate that much, but then other people say it is good.
John gave up porn.
Yeah.
John gave up porn? Yeah. For Lent? Wow.
And just in life. I'm rocking with it.
You have not watched porn?
Not in a while, in a few months.
Do you feel like, what are the benefits? Like, do you think it has reduced your genuine, like, sexual energy when you enter the world?
Like, I just, like, don't feel like beating it most of the time.
That's cool.
Yeah. So do you have more energy, and do you feel like you're, like, a higher power?
I think so. I think it's just, like, I also, like, I feel like, you know, I didn't have a problem with it, but, like, you know, it's kind of like a crutch a little bit. Yeah. Like, also, like, because I am single right now, so, like, you know, I feel like it's an excuse to kind of...
John dated a woman who didn't speak English for a while.
Okay.
But she did say C. So at least we're there.
But maybe have more energy now, like to look for someone that aligns with you, right?
Yep.
You don't have to go, oh, I don't have to go out because I've got porn.
100%.
But with a full bag, how do you even keep your dick in those small little alligator hunter shorts
you have on? You're still masturbating. You're just not watching porn.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So what are you masturbating to?
Rolodex.
Thoughts? The brain.
He's fantasies.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good on you. Yeah. Good on you.
I do that on the road. I have a bit about it, but I do it on the road. I don't watch porn on the road because I want it to help prep me for the show. Mm. Like, it gets your mind firing, your imagination going, and just you thinking a little bit, even though it's, like, sexual. Mm. It does do more. I've found that it actually helps my, like, brain fire a little better.
Well, I think that, like, porn... Look, I'm not anti-porn. I'm pro-porn. I think it just depends on the individual. Like, it might not have been working for you, but for some people, like... they understand its place in their life. Because I think with porn as well, you miss a lot of building that desire and that arousal because you're just so focused on, okay, I know what's going to get me off. Here we go. There's a climax here. There's a climax like here as well. And then you don't really feel motivated to think beyond what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. Like you don't feel motivated to think about what would another person want or like what's the sensation I'm feeling in my body and what does pleasure mean to me? You're just focused on the climax and getting off, the end goal.
How do you take the pressure off sex? Because I think a lot of people feel very pressured to have sex, to not have sex.
Yeah.
Is there like a, does that come up a lot in sessions?
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor of people's sex lives. I think we need to look at sex as more like a pleasure-oriented task rather than a goal-oriented task because I think a lot of people view sex as like penetration only, orgasm only. And if you're tired or like if you're taking a certain medication, maybe for depression or if you're having painful sex, like maybe penetration and orgasm isn't something you can achieve, but you can have a lot of pleasure. Like you can go down on someone or you can just make out or you can, you know, feel certain parts of your body and understand the sensations you're experiencing there. It doesn't always have to be like a three-course meal.
So you don't think that you always have to come for it to be like good sex?
No.
Right.
Especially like for women.
If you're in an accident, not calling a lawyer means you could be leaving money on the table when you're seriously hurt. Your injury could be worth millions and Morgan & Morgan is going to get it. I mean, listen, here's the truth. Okay, shaving Vito's back hair is hard. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is easy.
Getting John to be passionate about something that's not a table is hard.
Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/chaos or dial #law. That's #529 from your cell phone.
That's forthepeople.com/chaos or #law, #529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement. It wouldn't be a Chrissy Chaos episode if I didn't do this advertisement from my car. Where's my son? This episode is brought to you by Twillery. Twillery, performance clothing. And you know us, we are performers. We also like to do athletic things on an occasion. I just wore Twillery on the golf course. I am a brutal golfer. Not good, but boy, do I look fly out there in my Twillery. It keeps you cool. It's performance clothing, so you have absolutely no excuse for stinking it up. You can't say your wife starched your collar too much. That's a tough one not to be able to pull out at the right time, but you do feel good, and boy, is it tailored right to your bod, so any dude really looks just super yoked and in shape. It's fantastic. And guys, Twillery is offering our listeners $18 off, a minimum $139 offer today. All you got to do is go to Twillery.com and enter the code CHAOS18. That's $18 off. Order today. That's Tillery.com. Tillory.com. I'll do that again. That's Tillory.com. Promo code CHAOS18. $18 off your order. Got to be $139, first time orders.
The first time my girl's come in 10 years is with the eclipse the other day. She's, it had nothing to do with me. She just started bursting. we're at the same time hypersexualized, but also puritanical, where like we're all about like sex and America, guns, whatever. But then it's like sex is like a very taboo
still
thing. So it's weird. We're in like this weird place. But I think, you know, sex, do you feel like in order to have a good relationship, you have to be having good sex or no, not necessarily?
A lot of people don't. I mean, your partner's not just there for sex, right? Like they're there mm-hmm. for friendship, for being maybe like a good co-parent, for companionship, or like everyone has their own reasons to be in a relationship. And I think that that's why we're seeing a lot of people move towards like non-monogamy as well, because they go, I really love my partner, but maybe the sex we're having now isn't what I like, or maybe I have some different types of interests.
Right.
If they agree, can I get those needs met outside of the relationship as well? So
isn't
I don't
that just being friends though? Like, isn't there just as much depth and love in friends? Like, we're technically a sexless relationship,
right?
And I feel committed to you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sex very close to you. Oh, I appreciate that. But even just in intimacy, I feel like we have that. But like, once the sex leaves, I'm not arguing to like prove you wrong or anything like that. I'm just, as a person that means everything to, like, I couldn't survive in a relationship that didn't have sex. But like, outside of, what is the difference then between just a solid friendship and then a person that you consider your lover, I guess, that you don't have sex with? Like, I don't understand that.
Oh, I mean, it's like multifaceted. I don't think it, obviously it's not going to work for you, but I think for other people, they go, yeah, I just love this person. I adore being with this person, but I also want to have sex with other people, or I want to explore my kinks or my fetishes, and I don't want to, if they don't like it, I'm not going to push them to do that.
And that stuff is okay as long as you're upfront and honest with the person.
Yeah, and it's not like it has to be like an immediate conversation when you get into a relationship. I think, you know, you notice a few years into a long-term relationship that the quantity of sex is going down, the quality might change, the motivation might change, especially like after kids, etc. I think like having that conversation about like, I love you, how are you going, is there anything you want to explore outside of this, I encourage that, what kind of setup are we going to have, is it honesty, is it don't ask don't tell, is it like sex parties, is it clubs, you know, is it like other partners? There's so many different ways you can do it.
Yeah, there's like a sexual compatibility that some people have and some people don't have.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but I wonder, because I think what I've been hearing a lot lately is like this sexual kind of revolution that we're on is like morality is going down, right? Like people are like, have less morals, and that's why there's more problems in the world and all that, these things. But how do you feel about that? Do you think like that has nothing to do with sex? And sex is good.
I mean, I don't know. That's kind of like a big question. But I think I do agree that like the topic of sex is becoming more and more complex, especially as we have so much more access to other people these days, and we have social media. And I don't know. I think it's easier to kind of get away with maybe not being so ethical as well. But I also think we're having sex a lot less because we're looking at our phones a lot. We're working way harder as well. Like so many people are burnt out, especially after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after COVID, like the rates of anxiety and depression, they rose so much.
Yeah.
And you know, like stress and sex, they don't really mix. So I think a lot of people right now, especially in my clinic, I see this phase where they're like, I actually don't really know who I am and like where I'm at and how do I relate, not just to myself, but to other people too.
Right.
And also like a lot more celebrities, a lot more well-known people are talking about ethical non-monogamy. So people are going, oh, there's this new thing, even though it's been around for, you know, such a long time, it just wasn't spoken about that
much. I know. We love history. We talk a lot about history. Mm. You know, like what we deal with here, like specifically like in America or the Western world or whatever, is like, you know, if you cheat, you're a horrible person. Like this, it's all about like black and white. But then like there were like tribes like in Native American tribes that like they were like, it was never about monogamy with them. They were like, no, no, that term, it takes a village to raise kids, was like, well, we have sex with each other, we have a baby, and then like everyone else participates in raising the baby, and then you might have sex with someone else, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, but there's all these rules here where like, I see like in relationships, like somebody will mess up, like a friend of mine messed up, he cheated, but like the girl like was used to be like so mean to him, right? And like they fuck up and he's strayed and cheated, and now she wants a divorce because like it's just about that. Like you cannot cheat and step outside the relationship, and that puts a lot of pressure on people in today's world when you're so connected, where you're like, well, that doesn't mean I'm like a horrific person if that happened once, you know?
Look, I think like some people cheat and they are, you know, their intentions are probably not so great, but I think a lot of people cheat and it just happens. They still love their partner and they're probably searching for something more in themselves, or like an escape from reality or a different type of feeling. Like, I'm not going to speak on your friend and his relationship because I don't know.
Because I feel like, as you were mentioning before, people are saying that, you know, they're more kind of less into monogamy now and more and just like being open. Like, what do you think of that? Like, can you have an open relationship with someone and it work?
Yeah, I think plenty of people do. I think it's hard. Like, it can be quite complex and you have to be a good communicator and a good person as well. Like, I think it's pretty easy to be running around and like meeting up with a lot of people and being naughty. I think that's also part of the thrill for a lot of people.
Right.
So non-monogamy, it's like a fancy word, and I think a lot of people are attracted to it because they're excited to sleep with other people.
Right.
But it's quite complex. Like, you have to really be ethical about it if you choose to go down that road, and you have to be having a lot of communication with yourself first and foremost. Like, am I doing this in the right way? Do I feel comfortable? And with your partner too. You don't have to tell them everything you're doing, but there has to be a level of like trust and respect there for that to be able to work.
Yeah, I feel like it always seems like, you know, like my friends who want like an open relationship, they'll be like, I can have sex with whoever I want, but she can't because my male ego. But I'm like, that's stupid. That's never going to work.
Their partner's probably going to have way more fun than they are.
I mean, the guy almost never is victorious in that situation.
No.
The woman is constantly, I mean, I've never met an open relationship that has worked for an extended amount of time. Yeah. I'm sure they're out there. But all of my friends that have entered into them have had that like egoic, like, I'm going to hit the streets, I'm going to succeed, I'm going to crush tail. Well, and then their wife, like, you know, just brings home a football team and they're playing video games on the couch while they're, you know, hearing her be pleased for the first time.
Yeah, because I do feel like in every relationship I've ever been in, and maybe this is just Catholic guilt or the way I was raised or whatever, but I do feel like that is the only cardinal sin. Like I've seen relationships. I've seen relationships. Where like, especially like my mom's age friends, where like the one of them was like getting beaten. Like one of my aunt's friends was like getting beaten by her husband, like truly beaten, and she wouldn't leave. It wasn't until she found out he was having an affair that she finally left. And I'm like, the beating seems so much worse than the infidelity.
Well, she might not have been able to leave, first and foremost. And second of all, like, maybe the affair is there as a catalyst for her to have permission to go, okay, like, this is my chance that you've done the wrong thing now, even though he's been doing the wrong thing for a very long time, don't get me wrong. But, like, that's it. The rule is don't cheat. And you stepped over it. So now I have an excuse to leave where I don't also feel, like, implicated.
Right.
I think that a lot of people are in really bad situations. And for me, like, I think the rule like cheating's the worst of the worst is so silly, because yes, getting abused, getting neglected, even like being in a relationship where you don't get any attention,
right,
or you don't get love, or you don't get kindness, like, isn't that worse than cheating on someone?
Yeah, there was an 80-year-old woman that I met at the coffee shop who just started talking to me.
Yeah.
If you ever get an opportunity, people at home, to talk to elderly people, just go talk to them, because they're like, they've lived so much life and have so much, they're from like a different world.
And nobody ever wants to talk to them, because they're so excited.
Because we're scared of like our own mortality. Yeah. So be like, I don't want to talk to you. You look like you could die. And then like, it's like this whole subconscious game. But she told me, she was like, oh, do you have a partner? And I said, yeah, or wife, whatever. I said, you know, we're not married, but like boyfriend and girlfriend. And then she started talking to me, and like all of a sudden you start like opening up to her about like problem, good things, bad things, whatever. And she was like the only, she was married for 30 years and then she got divorced. She got divorced when she was like in her early 70s.
Slay.
And so she got divorced and she was like, you know, the best years of my life have been these past, you know, whatever, 10 plus years. She was like, because the thing that I had, she was like, my husband, I don't believe, ever cheated on me. I never cheated on him. She was like, your generation is so obsessed with that. She was like, he was never kind to me. She was like, so if your partner's not being kind, that right there, if you're not being kind to them or they're not being kind to you, then go go find another partner. Whether you have kids or not, all that's irrelevant. She was like, it's all about kindness, not about this, all this other stuff.
Yeah, check yourself. I mean, there's like 8 billion people in the world.
Right.
You don't have to stick with one person if they're not being nice to you. It's a lot more complex than that, because obviously like there's money, there's children, like there's a lot of reasons why people are together. But you deserve to be happy. And you deserve to have fun and a good sex life if that's like a priority for you. But like, I think when we talk about sex, it's so black and white, whereas it's extremely complex. If you think about religion, for example, like religion brings in such an inner narrative that we don't even talk about publicly that much.
Right.
Like there's so many different rules and regulations that come from religion around sex.
Is there is there sometimes where couples come in and you just, you can't help them? Like you, like some people just can't be helped, where you're like, you guys are so far apart sexually, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to improve, you can really improve people's sex lives. And you can say, I can get you to like good enough. You never promise the world with anyone because you're not going to reach it unless they want to. They have to put in the work. It's not my job to fix them. It's their job to fix themselves.
Yeah, I feel like good relationships too. Like Mike is in one of the best relationships. He's been with his now wife since they were what, 10?
Yeah, on and off since we were kids. Yeah.
On and off since they were kids.
10.
But since 2008, definitively, so 16 years.
Mm. So they, and what they have, what they like, they had the best like wedding I ever met. What they have that... that is unique, I think, or not unique, is the sign of a good relationship, is they kind of act like both of them have their own lives. Mm-hmm. Like they act like they're single, but they only hook up with each other type thing. You know what I'm kind of mean? Like they'll go out, they'll do things like, yeah, they're partners. But sometimes in relationships that I'm in, I feel like I'm in a relationship now and I'm in a box and you don't even look at that person, like don't do any of it. And he doesn't live like that. So I see like this longevity with him, where sometimes with other relationships, I see people being like, I'm in a box. I can't do anything. If I make one mistake, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like that's never going to work.
Well, it sounds like we call that in psychology, differentiation. Like you have your own life, you're an individual. And I mean, when you met your partner, was like that was a long time ago. You were still forming who you were.
Yeah, I was 10.
Yeah. And like now you have your own life. You're able to like cross a bridge, come together, talk about so many different things. And that's really like hot for her probably, and for you as well.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, we've gotten to a place where I can trust very few people in my life. And she is probably the most trustworthy person that I have.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that bridge gets removed, the entire city's going underwater.
Wait, did you see the next call?
We'll break loose. Yeah.
But it has allowed us to live our individual lives, where I go out, do comedy. She has her own business. And because she has her own business, she knows what it's like to be a comedian.
Right.
And it's really important for us as individual people that are going after this kind of selfish career to have a partner that is also, that has their version of comedy. So she has her comedy in Flowers, this thing that she wants to build and she wants to create and she wants to be great at. And that has given her an individual purpose that allows us to feel meaning with ourselves. And then when we come together, it's like it's a team process and we're really good at communicating and we, you know, have a kid and another one on the way. So it's like our families are each fractured. And because of that, I think we've decided together to make kind of a more, you know, the sum of its parts being greater than the individuals
sort
of thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you're not like, it sounds like you're so dedicated to not fucking that up.
That's right.
And that's
I am.
Extremely important.
That's the most important thing to me. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a really healthy relationship. I love that you have your individual lives and you come together.
Yeah.
That's so hot.
And do you think infidelity, You brought up a celebrity or a very well-known therapist.
Esther Perel. Yes. Yeah, Esther Perel talks about infidelity a lot, and she's very wise. There's a lot of, like, she has a lot of, like, YouTubes and TED Talks and great books, podcasts. But that was probably, like, the first time that I and a lot of other people have heard of infidelity in a way that's not so black and white. Like, it's, there's so much in between, so much gray when it comes to your relationship, and so much that we don't talk about. So how are we meant to know what's normal and what's not?
Right.
I think for your friends that are, like, so black and white with it, they probably just don't have enough information on relationships, on sex. Like, we don't really get good sex education. I don't know about here in the US.
No, we don't. And
from what I've heard, it's not going so well.
They put a condom on a banana.
It's and we didn't even get that.
Adults that still show up to comedy clubs while they're drinking alcohol still recoil at the mention of jizz. Like, it's like, it's like still like this little kid reaction.
And then you have the opposite bit where guys in the front row are like, waiting for it. Vito, do you have a question?
Yeah, so you guys are talking about open relationships and infidelity.
Yeah.
What do you think about the rise of, like, polygamy? Like, polyamorous relationships seem to be bigger in the last few years than we've ever seen.
Yeah, I think that they've been around for, like, a really long time. I just think they're getting spoken about a lot more. And I think that, I mean, polyamory is, like, under ethical non-monogamy. And that just means that you have different partners that meet different needs. So, you know, like, for example, if I had a partner that really wasn't interested in talking about basketball, I could find another partner. It doesn't mean that I'm having sex with another partner, but that person's there in an intimate relationship with me. So we can talk about other things like basketball and interests that are important to us. So polyamory doesn't have to mean sex, but for a lot of people it does.
See? There it is. See, we're in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah.
You fulfill the other needs.
As long as you're talking to your wife about it, and you're talking to your partner about
it. She knows. And she's honestly doesn't think just this is going on.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Congrats,
she finds long gray hairs on my clothes. She's like, who are you? What grandma are you fucking? I'm like, Mike Cannon.
Where John? Are the long hairs coming from?
I know. This is post haircut.
John, do you have any questions? John's 25 and into women who don't speak English.
Nothing that comes to mind.
We can talk after the show.
Yeah, after the show. And and you have a clear mind. You're clearer than all of us you're fully loaded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not watching porn. Good for you.
Fully loaded.
Thanks,
but I have a question then. Is it hard to date in New York? What's it like? Because I think it's a different culture here than it is for me at home in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, I think so sometimes. I feel like a lot of people are, like, looking for, like, a very specific partner, especially when they're dating. So, like, maybe more first dates than you'd anticipate. Like,
are people looking for long-term relationships if you're...
I think less so. Like, yes. I think, I mean, you hear terms like situationship and, like, you have, like, the talking phase and, like, when are we putting a label on it? So there's, like, a lot of ambiguity with relationship. I don't know. That's
it's, like,
built-in
ambiguity because they've, like, created these kind of weird precursor steps to full-blown relationship that never really – they vaguely existed before. Like, you'd be talking to somebody in high school and, like, half hooking up, and then eventually you'd be like, will you be my girlfriend? And that's a thing. But now adults are doing that.
Well, because,
like,
I think
you be my girlfriend?
I think texting – I mean, obviously, you know, you're the expert in this. You could tell me if I'm – right or wrong, but I think texting or DMing, whatever, you'll say so many things, like sexually or whatever, that you would never say to them in person in the beginning because you're like, you know, it's difficult doing a person, but you're behind this wall with texting and messaging that's why, like, all these, I saw that's why, like, a lot of teen pregnancies are on the rise because people are having sex the first time they meet because they've actually gotten
built an intimate,
had
connection.
So much intimacy and connection through the phone, but then physically, the first time they meet, it's like 0 to 100.
Yeah. But wouldn't it, like, suck as well if you feel this, like, intimate connection with someone online and then you meet them and you're like, oh, that wasn't real? Like, it's very, very hard. Yeah. And I think for dating too, like, I think expectations are really, really difficult because I think we put a lot of pressure on people these days, especially when you're in your 20s or 30s, that you might be here building your life, building your career, but because of social media, like, you're expected to be here, like, very successful, money, a place, like, status, etc. I think it's quite difficult. And from the people I've talked to here, it's you can get a little bit lost, I think, in the city when you're trying to date.
Right.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
There you go. Well, John.
That's my question. Sorry. I'm interviewing you now. I'm so curious about the culture.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on.
All you got to do is just get Google Translate and you're out there and doing your thing.
That's all John. Yeah.
Slay, John.
Slay.
All right. Well, what are you doing for the rest of the day?
I'm going to see some friends now, and then I'm going out for dinner with my Aussie friends. I know, I see Aussie friends in New York. That's
where are you going to dinner? This comes out next week, so.
Actually, I have no idea yet. It hasn't been organized, but I'm just excited because a few of my girlfriends have moved here, and they're kind of making their little New York community.
Nice. Could you move here, you think, to New York?
I would love to move here. I think it's great. I think that there's a lot more going on and there's a lot of interesting people you can meet here.
Yeah.
And very quickly like connect and have a friendship or like build something with. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think people are less suspicious here. People are a lot more open than, you know, in America, I've realized. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in Australia, we have a bit of what we call tall poppy syndrome. Do you know what that means? Like if someone's standing out, it makes you feel uncomfortable, so people try and like bring them back down to the same level. You're all at the same level.
Got it.
You can't be a tall poppy.
Well, we're against communism here.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Here, everybody just tries to stand out, so nobody does.
But
it is interesting. Yeah, I get people's like, "Hi, I'm Chantel. Here's my resume. This is everything that I do." We would never like do that.
I will say, maybe this is just a personal feeling, but Mike, tell me what you think about this too. I do feel though. Now, more and more, like, I have less of a desire to be famous or because it feels like being as anonymous as you can, but still providing for your family and being happy is the best life.
Absolutely.
Because it feels like here, you keep going up this mountain, this ladder, and then more people try to pull you down. You're just getting more eyeballs on you, more guns pointed towards you. Yeah. You're like, why would I want everyone to love me? That seems insane. Where it was, I didn't feel that way even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But now something fundamentally has changed. I don't know if it's life or just me.
We've also seen what it does to people, like what it does to their personality.
Seeing it up close, you think more.
Yeah, and you know, we see under the hood of like how fame actually works and how it affects somebody on a personal, emotional, and mental health perspective. Mm. So if we're seeing that, and like there's a way to make money without having to go the full blown traumatized elite route, that sounds ideal.
Yes. I mean, it's not nice walking out of your house and going, who's looking at me because I'm hot, or who's looking at me because they know me or they want to get to know me.
Or because I'm not hot. The exact opposite.
Yeah.
No, I think not being famous is like, I think that's a nice thing.
Well, it's interesting too what you said too about after COVID, there's like this burnout that we're all feeling like we have to like catch up or we have to do so many things. Mm. And I feel that. Like I saw a quote, I'm paraphrasing it, but it was like, you know, the problem with success is you have to keep being successful. Yeah. Where like, if you win, you know, Sexologist of the Year this year, but then you don't win it next year, people are like, oh, what happened to Chantel? I thought, did she fall off?
Right.
Did she go limp?
And
you're like, and so, and that's a problem because it should be like, it doesn't negate what you did last year. But with social media, it's like more, kind of no end to up.
It's very competitive.
Yes.
I will say it's kind of heartening though to hear it's an international issue. Like, I did feel like it's just hyper-capitalist and very American to kind of try to outwork your previous self.
Right.
And especially learning nothing from the pandemic, which could have served as a lesson to settle down and, like, chill out, enjoy the people that you're that you love and find what's important to you. But instead, a lot of people, myself included, took it as, I need to take this opportunity to, like, level up, get to a place where I'm, concretely providing, everything is okay, things can't knock it off its axis, even a fucking international pandemic. But I think there's two ways to react to it, where other people have taken this opportunity to be like, oh, actually, I'm going to do the exact opposite and chill.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, like, on that, it just makes me think of safety and security. Like, I just think it's very hard to feel safe when you don't know who's watching you and like who's kind of tracking you. And especially, I don't know, you've got families as well. You two are like well known. Do sometimes you worry a little bit? Like I've had security issues and I'm not like a big deal. It's just at home. But when people find out where you live or like I've had people come to work, like that kind of stuff is not attractive to me. It's not a nice feeling.
Right.
And I think with fame, it's not just about like, yeah, you can make money or like you can have more access to things or meet interesting people. But on the flip side of that, like, there's a lot of cost that comes with that too.
Yeah. There's a level too that I think there's like a perfect level that you can get to where like you can make enough money to provide for your family and get enough access, but not have everywhere you go, you know, people know everything about you. Like, you don't want to be famous enough where you're like a story, you know, for nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think, I don't know how any of that applies to sex, but.
Well.
Sorry.
It's stressful.
Yes, like, that's what it is. Yeah.
It's stressful. Like, that stuff doesn't make your life sexy.
No.
No.
It's an illusion. And by the way, it's not like a new thing. Like, the, you know, ancient Romans were talking about, you don't want to really be famous. Like, Marcus Aurelius was like, this is like a, there's a, this is a game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the, they said, they called it the third thing. They were like, you know, the problem is, you know, you do something good, right? It helps the person. So like, we do comedy, hopefully it helps a person. But then the third thing is what you really want is that's the adulation for it. And that's where the cancer is.
Yeah.
Is you need to, you know, like, it's like when someone...
The validation.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where the problem is. That's that. And this, so they were saying that 2,000 years ago, that beware of the third thing. And I have not done that. And if you don't subscribe to my podcast, I'll beat the shit out of you.
The third thing is coming.
Yeah. All right. I know it's 12. We got to get you out of here. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. That really was amazing.
Thank you very much.
Answered like a lot of questions. Definitely made me feel better about some of the ways that I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, I feel like validated.
Would you like to plug your social media or anything else?
Chantel_Otten_sexologist, or just look up my website, chantelotten.com.
Excellent.
Love it. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
That's it. Yes. All right.
Thanks, all guys. Right.
Thank you.
This episode sponsored by Blue Chew, and our guest is a sexologist. It's perfect because I am hard. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Remember those when you were just rock hard?
Yeah, and they're so far in the distance, I can't wait for a refresher.
Dude, I want to just get rock hard. I want to stay rock hard. I just want a big fucking hard cock at all times, and Blue Chew's going to get me there.
Well, and the best part about Blue Chew is it's chewable, so it literally goes into your bloodstream way faster and gives you a rockin' hard bone that much sooner.
And the thing about Blue Chew that keeps me the most rock hard is their tablets are made right here in the USA, baby. Ooh. Absolutely. I'm going to write 1776 on my dick.
American jobs.
Yeah. Now, and it's all done online, so there's no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. You just chew it and you get rock hard with Blue Chew. I mean, literally everyone's going to know how it just hard your dick is, and I want to see it. As a matter of fact, why don't you post pictures of it?
Yeah,
I want to see. Leave YouTube comments with what Blue Chew did for you.
DMs or DM us, just a picture of the result. You know what I mean?
Here we go. Now we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code Chaos. That's CHAOS at checkout. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping. So that's BlueChew.com. Promo code CHAOS to receive your first month free. BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Prize Picks, everybody. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Here's how it works. Steph Curry, the way it works is this. Is players and stat, you pick the players and stat types, you highlight your winnings, and then you have fun. So this week, let's say I'm selecting Steph Curry for more than 29 points and Nikola Jokic for more than 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis for more than 2 blocks, Damian Lillard for more than 4 three-pointers made, et cetera, et cetera. And then that's how you win. You know, you place the bet on what you think is going to happen, the more than or the less than, or the, you know, and it's fun.
Well, and can I tell you also, they also offer Prize Picks injury assurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss.
Download the app today and use the code CHAOS, C-H-A-O-S, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the app Prize Picks today. Use the code CHAOS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks.
Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Like your mother.
So Chantel, the sexologist, just walked out. She left. She had to go do another thing. She's back to Australia. I think she hopped out of here like a kangaroo.
She sure did, yeah.
And she was great. And she was she smells amazing.
Yeah. I mean, dewy skin, the whole thing. Kind of looked like Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Right?
By the way, Mateo Lane, who, again, we're going to have some content coming out with, it's great, told me that he believes whenever he sees a man doing anything, like just an in-charge, confident man, he assumes that they have a squeaky clean asshole. He thinks that you're not going to be as confident and in charge as you can be if your asshole's dirty.
Interesting.
What do you think of that?
I've never put much thought into it, to be honest, but I guess that's true. I mean, I'm a pretty confident guy, and I'm uncertain about the state of my asshole at times.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's completely bulletproof. But the way that, I don't know if you do this, but the way I keep my like, you know, stay faithful, stay completely committed to my family, and just like not even like consider the alternative or options out there, is I just assume that every woman, especially the more attractive they are, have the stinkiest pussy on planet Earth.
I think that's the only way I can. Yeah, I think about that. And I think about their feet.
Yep.
Stinky feet.
It smells like the Ninja Turtles' home between her legs. And I'm like, there's just no way I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And I could see John has a boner through his shorts. Well, who was that kid?
That was literally just when we were making the clip of you wearing shorts. I was trying to find somebody wearing shorts in a pool.
Right. And then we found this kid.
And then I used
That rap was amazing. Vito, we put Vito in charge of ordering the breakfast today. And what kind of wrap did you order? What was in that?
That was a Greek wrap.
Which had?
So it had scrambled eggs, roasted red peppers.
And a big ego?
And chest hair?
Feta. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Arrest him!
Arrest him!
Arrest him!
Okay, all right. So, because that was good, and I'm gonna say that I'm gonna put Vito. I think Vito is a good breakfast order.
Did you guys notice anything?
But I did all ask for a protein shake though, and that didn't come.
You're right. I fucked that up. But did you guys notice John anything he added to the picture?
You in the Newport?
Which picture?
The Newport. The thumbnail John made for.
Did you add some like definition in the nethers?
Oh, did you? What did you do?
Nice, dude. Nice.
What?
That is outstanding.
Has anyone commented on it?
Oh, my God, dude. Huh?
It's just a thumbnail, so probably not.
I also love how the base of it starts, like, just below the belly button.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. He, like, said to me, he was like, oh, man, nobody commented when I sent the thumbnail to them. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he showed me. And then earlier in the day, he said something like, oh, man, if anybody knew I did this on my work computer, I'd probably get fired.
You're getting fired anyway.
It looks like a sandworm from Doom 2. Somebody's just banging on the sand. That thing comes out of Chris's pants.
Dude, I have to bring in that. I'm going to get your guys' sizes. We're all going to get. I'm going to get.
I would love that.
A summer gift. I'm getting everyone these Newport things. Yeah.
Those let's do an all-outdoor pod wearing
those
outfits.
Newports. It literally,
your body looks great, though.
It says cigarettes. See, I don't feel good, though, about it.
It looks good.
Thank you.
Good shelf of a chest.
Yeah, so that's gotten a bit better. I have, the creatine now. I've been taking it, and, like, I weighed this morning 226 pounds. When I was at my best, I was, like, 210, 212.
Mm.
So I know people are like, yeah, but you have maybe more muscle. And whatever they want. For me, it is about the number, and I get upset when that number is that high.
Can I ask you? So I weighed the lowest I've weighed in a really long time, which is actually like kind of too low. I was 165 for my special.
You look great, though.
And that's really almost too low.
Did you feel good?
Yeah, I felt good. I felt like, you know, outside of the stress-induced sciatica and all that shit, I felt pretty good. Take a guess what I weighed in at Monday morning.
So you said, what was it?
165.
165 Saturday before the special.
Yes.
Monday morning, you were 170.
178. What? I was 178. I put on 13 pounds of dessert and water weight, and now I'm all the way back down to 168. Like, my body fluctuates that crazy. It holds on to all this shit. Like, it's like...
What did you eat?
I mean, I ate everything that was in the green room, every bit of Italian food. Emilio sent me home with shit, so I had, like, I had chicken parmesan, I had pasta, all this stuff. I had 15 slices of pizza. I had a 750-milligram cheesecake.
You ate the whole thing?
I ate half of it before I went home, and then midway through the drive, I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. And that was that. And then I ate, all Sunday was, like, Sunday and, you know, Sunday was just purely green lights. Like, I was just all celebration mode, just doing whatever. I didn't stay within a window. I ate clean through midnight. Like, yeah. just did
and
not
weighed
stop.
178. Yeah. Has that ever happened to you, a 13-pound weight?
No, I mean, I've never weighed myself to, like, see how much I gained, because that would hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time you've weighed yourself?
I don't weigh myself. I go by clothes. I really don't believe in, like, scale. Especially, like, I carry weight a lot heavier than I look normally.
So people would be like, I cannot, like...
If I told somebody my weight, they would be shocked by how much I weigh.
What is it?
I don't know. I haven't weighed myself in so long.
What do you think it is, if you have to guess?
For example, when I'm my lowest, like, when you met me, like, when I first lost all the weight, a lot of people were like, oh, what are you, like, 190, 195 right now? And I was like, I couldn't get below 230.
You were 230 at your lowest?
I was 230 at my, like, when I was working out, like... Right before the pandemic, I got down from like 370 or something, and I got down to 230.
But your, like, frame is made for that.
Yeah, so I can pull up a
picture.
Like,
if you went down to 180, you'd look weird.
I got down to 198 in college. I'll show you a picture. Mm-hmm. I look fucking freakish because my hands and my feet.
Let me see.
Right. Yeah, you probably look like a caricature artist drew you.
John's got nice big fucking thighs.
Right? Milkers.
Yeah, John's got like a softball woman's body.
John and I have similar. Are you Irish?
100, yeah.
Yeah, so we have these shapeless Mick legs that are the exact same width from our hip to our ankle. And it's just like a stone girder that has been built to hold up castles.
Do you ever have body dysmorphia, John? As a young man?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think? Like, some days you think you look good, some days you don't?
Not so much anymore, but when I was younger, I was already pretty thin, and I would feel like I have to diet like crazy.
Yeah.
You
would feel like you have to diet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Like
I would, when I was, like, working construction over the summer, I would, like, only eat watermelon. Like, watermelon for, like...
No kidding.
I swear to God, yeah. I lost, like,
Who were you
pounds.
Working with?
Like, it was from my dad's construction company.
Oh, wow.
So a bunch of
What
Mexicans.
Kind of people did he employ?
south of the border.
No, I'm kidding. By the way, we learned a fun fact about John that if you are driving past a building in Stamford, Connecticut, you bet your bottom dollar that John has washed those windows, dude. He was a window washer.
Yeah.
Which I've never met. Like a real window washer. And he said it's not as scary as you think.
It just stunned both of us because it does feel like kind of a job that you'd bring up, like an out of the ordinary job. And especially, I think you and I have been open about our fears of heights and things like that. And just the idea of doing that, especially, like, I mean, there's all those awful videos that, like, anytime there's a gust of wind in Chicago, one of those things come flying yeah. off the side of the building. And it's like, to imagine that being a possibility, I can't believe you did that, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean, and you think, would you go back for the Patreon? Would you get back on and wash a window?
Absolutely.
With a GoPro?
In fact, my cousins that Mike met at his show at the special taping, they still do it, like, every
wow.
day. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Could we, but, like, legally, like, we couldn't film an episode on the window washer?
You probably could. We probably could do it. I mean,
but don't I just have to sign all these papers, right?
No. I mean, I could go do it. Right. I could still drive an aerial lift. So,
dude, let's do this.
Are you locked in though with multiple harnesses?
Yeah, all the time. You have to be.
What's the only way you can die?
There's not just one way. You die in many ways. But
the only way?
I love that you tried to mitigate the danger by only giving him one option.
I would say with like driving in like a 80-foot aerial lift, if you go out, like, there's a lot of balancing mechanics in there. But, like, if you do go off balance, you're dead. Like,
oh,
so what happens basically is, you know, the arm is like 80 feet. So if it tips at all, it'll, like, kind of, you're attached to it. So you get slingshotted into the ground.
Dude, my father-in-law used to operate the cranes that worked with the Transit Authority. He owned them. And so he was like basically the head of repairs for the Transit Authority. And he would tell me that on some of these cranes, he would have to like that the wrong crane was at the wrong site. So he'd have to take a crane that wasn't built for this job and do it. And he would say that like sometimes the arms wouldn't extend to the necessary thing to keep you balanced. So he developed ways. And a lot of these guys in the 70s and 80s got so good at the crane while hammered, I'm sure. They were just teeter totter. Literally balancing up on the crane while they're swinging things 100 feet in the fucking air, placing things in perfect precision. But he's technically leaning on the left front corner of the crane. And then once he drops, he's got to slam it back and then just land it back into like, you know, on the axis. It's like crazy the way he was explaining it. I'm like, none of that is by the book.
No. But most construction jobs are probably not by the book. They're breaking rules every day.
All the time, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I couldn't believe, though, that like you were a real window washer, but it does kind of feed in. It, I do understand now why you only like women that speak Spanish. Vito's still looking for the picture of himself. Did you find it?
I got three examples for you.
So let's look at Vito's big, oversized head and hands.
Yeah, does it look like you're just wearing Mickey Mouse gloves?
By the way, Vito, speaking of oversized hands, they invited me again to do the Bernie Williams softball thing.
Oh.
So we'll go do it again. Yeah,
can I come?
Yeah, of course.
I want to come.
It's not far from you.
Sick.
It's in Tarrytown.
Oh, let's go.
Right? No, not Tarrytown. Ridgefield Playhouse, Connecticut.
Ridgefield Playhouse, yeah. Yep. All right, so that's me at my like biggest.
Oh, my God, dude.
Wow.
Dude, you look insane there.
Yeah,
I didn't think you were ever that big.
That was my biggest.
That was 340.
You look like a Wayfair beanbag chair.
You really do, dude.
Wow.
So, like, this is after that. What would you think I got down to here?
Okay. 210.
Yeah.
I would say 210.
I couldn't crack 230.
So you were still 230.
Yeah.
Dude, you look unbelievable.
Unbelievable
there.
Like,
actually, like, jacked.
The other one, go back to the other one. The other one, you have as big a head as Mr. Met. That, I can't. Now, how did you feel? How does this guy feel? Like, what did the fat guy, what did you feel like every day? Or were you just as happy and having fun as the other guys?
No, I was, like, that was, like, when I was, like, going, like, I was drinking. I was doing lots of cocaine.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't coke make you skinny, though?
It doesn't. Not if you're already big. It actually just, like, you can eat through it.
Yeah.
I did coke, 6 a.m., I did my final line of the evening with my buddy Tim. And I literally took it, and then he took his and looked back, and I was sleeping while grinding my teeth.
Like, this guy wasn't going to the gym. Like,
what would you do? What was a normal day of eating for you, for real? What was that guy eating?
Well, okay, so I worked at Sirius. So lunch, easy lunch is just Chipotle downstairs.
Uh-huh.
But not a salad, like a wrap.
Like a burrito.
A burrito.
A burrito with, like, cheese, guac, rice, everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because Chipotle, you can get healthy. But yes. I would go not healthy. Or I'd go to, like, Melt Shop and get, like, a fucking burger. Like, or go to Five. Like, Sirius isn't Midtown.
You didn't consider for 1 second, like, let me put something good in my body. You were just like, taste. Whatever tastes
the best. No, I just literally was
not drinking water, probably soda and juice and stuff.
I actually never drank soda, really. I've never been a big soda guy.
Right.
I
don't water. So you would drink a lot of water.
I only drink water. For breakfast, I would go to Metro Cafe, also in that used to be down there, and I would get a bacon, egg, and cheese, but also with sausage.
Damn right.
So bacon, egg, and cheese with sausage.
Yeah.
Wow.
A
bacon, sausage, egg, and cheese.
Soccer two-a-days in high school. Sausage, bacon, egg, and cheese.
Would you get anything on the side? A muffin or a piece of cake?
Just that. Sometimes maybe like a pound cake. Like, like, and then for dinner, I don't even remember what I'd eat for dinner. I would like...
There was no rules.
There was no rules, no.
And there was no time. There was no stopping the timer. No.
Eat late, whatever. Didn't care. Go out
five
nights a week.
Did you consider rules? So this is what I mean by this is like when I was eating and living in this way, I never considered rules to even exist. Like I didn't think anybody kind of had a diet or any kind of direction that they were heading in. Did this version of you, were you thinking in the same way, like almost octopus reaching out to grab whatever you could to shove into your face?
God. Here's the thing. I had gained
Look
it.
At him.
I had gained it from here.
Wow.
Oh, so that was... So that's what you normally used to look like.
Your arms are huge, though, in high school.
I lost weight to get to here. So I was as big as you just saw. In high school, I was that big.
Oh, wow.
Then I lost weight and got down to there.
But then you never really gained it from there. No, from here I got.
Then he got big
to
again.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've went through this cycle a couple of times.
Yes, yeah. And I'm but afraid I'm on my way.
No, I don't think you can anymore. I think you fundamentally changed your. I don't think you'll eat because you would stop the timer at this point.
Yeah, you also, like you may fluctuate. You also hang with two physically vain people, so that actually helps.
Yes, because that's the thing with fasting is like y'all maybe like gain a little bit. Like I've gained 10 pounds or whatever, yeah. Whatever. But you're never going to gain 40. You can't. If you stick to the rules, you just can't. It's impossible.
John just sent me something. I don't know if it's a picture of myself.
Let's see it. Hopefully it's...
No, that's at Sirius. So, like, that's the same era as this. It's not high school. Wow. But, yeah,
who's that you're with?
That was Nerys, who used to intern on Ron and Fez.
Who's that girl that you look like you're about to pet to death?
Yeah.
But
Nerys.
Then I lost weight down to... That was, like, my skinniest. So this...
How old were you there?
I was 19. So I got to college... And then when I got to college, my freshman year, that January, I saw The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg. Mm. And I was like, that guy's back looks better than my front will ever look. I went to Shake Shack. I had two double cheeseburgers, two orders of cheese fries, a milkshake. And then I just ate chicken and broccoli for the next year, biked every day. Didn't really go to the gym. So that's what's funny here. I didn't really work out. Like, I biked everywhere. This is when I started biking.
And you really stuck to, like, you didn't have a cheat day. Like, every day of your life was pretty much chicken and broccoli. It was almost like you were, like had on the spectrum.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. That's what I eat.
Yeah, you're just fueling your car.
Yeah. So I would bike to, I worked at Chelsea Piers at the time. I would bike there for summer
Chelsea
camp.
Chelsea Queers.
I would.
So my dad would always say,
I like that way too much. I really love that.
He would always laugh.
I would bike there in the morning. I never really was a big breakfast guy because like I would just start my day. So, and I believe fasted workouts I've been into since high school.
Right. Well, not from those pics.
No, here. I mean, like, sorry, not since high school, since this.
Yeah.
So I would go to Chelsea Piers and on my way in, I would get a Greek yogurt with oat, with granola. For breakfast, then I would grab a salad with literally just spinach and grilled chicken with mm-hmm. no dressing, nothing else, just two ingredients, spinach and grilled chicken. That would be my lunch. For dinner, I would eat on the Foreman grill a whole fucking serving of turkey, of like ground turkey on a Foreman grill, like the like entire trip.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow. But no bun, nothing.
Nothing. Grill it, have that with broccoli.
I used to do that too, dude.
That's my dinner.
That's meathead shit.
How long did you stick to just that? Like, for real, how long was it, like, literally? And also Saturday and Sundays, were you doing that same meal as well?
Dude, I didn't go off of this.
And almost never eating out.
And that's why I gained it back, was because, like, I did not...
That's not sustainable.
I did not set myself up for success. I wasn't going to the gym. I also, like... I didn't, my freshman year of college, I went out like a lot September to like January when I started this. And then once January hit, I went into like a shell and I didn't have a social life until like I got back to college sophomore year.
Right. But were people like, holy shit, Vito, you look unreal.
People were shocked when I came back because it was still like, I had not like.
How quick did it take you to get blown when you came back thin?
Dude, honestly, I was a terrible person. When I lost weight.
Right.
Because, like, I had this mentality of, like, the only thing that was ever wrong with me was being fat, and now I'm not.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I was very cocky. And
were
like,
you ripped, too? Did you get, like, abs and stuff, or you never really could get that?
The extra skin is, like...
Wow, so you were, like, the kid... What is that, Patrick Dempsey in that movie where he's cool by association
can't
and then
buy
he
me
turns
love?
Into a cocksucker? Yeah, you're like that guy in a high school movie.
I was a fucking monster, and, like, because I felt like... I was like, oh, I have funny fat guy energy without being fat.
I mean, it does. It's the exact it looks, same face.
Vito, you look like Wreck-It Ralph, and you look like a Mexican girl.
All right, wait, but you said to me before that when you called me Wreck-It Ralph, it didn't mean it wasn't fat, and now I just showed you the fattest possible picture of myself, and you're saying it's Wreck-It Ralph.
Do a whole body. No, your face here looks like Wreck-It Ralph, but the body.
It also just looks like a baby.
Wreck-It Ralph's body.
I do.
Which is a good, look at how big his hands are, and you're just a big, burly guy. Like, Wreck-It Ralph can't get to 190.
I'm very square.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very square. But yeah, so I got, that went down to this, and then this went to, this went to the one that you said looked jacked. And then this was like even more cut.
What year is that?
That's full Kevin Smith, one seat on an airplane.
Yeah.
That was after this. So this was like when I was like, I was on a powerlifting regimen.
Yeah. You can
tell. And then here was more just like.
That's too thin.
Was like slimming down. But like, yeah, like my, I don't think my features matched.
What Vito do you like the best?
This one.
powerlifting,
if
Vito.
If I could get back to there, I'd be really
happy. How far away from that, Vito, do you feel like you are? Because you look like that, Vito, right now.
Yeah.
It's being married, it's harder. Like, it's just also working at a ballpark where it's hard to eat. Like, John will attest to this. A lot of your dinners, like, are just at the ballpark. So it's like, you get meal money.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like, go eat the salad every night when you can go get the fried rice or something else.
Right.
But, like, I go to the gym 6 days a week. Like, I feel physically strong and everything.
Did you go today already?
I did, yeah.
Wow. What time do you wake up to go?
5:50.
You get up out of your bed at 5:50.
5:50. I lay my clothes out the night before.
That's the move.
I lay my clothes out the night before. So, like, I wake up. I literally, my alarm goes off. I stand up the second my alarm goes off.
Wow. No matter what, you just push through and stand up.
I stand up even as tired as I am because
we put a camera on that.
I would love to set that up.
The alarm go off and Vito just like
you standing up for an hour look to his
feet. Oh, dude, I literally turn my body like it's the most aggressive. Like I turn my body back and I catapult myself off the bed basically to just like get up, put my clothes on and like get out of the house as soon as I can.
How quickly are you out of the house?
Depends. If I fuck up and I sit down, it could be like 45 minutes.
Right.
If I get up, I put my clothes on, I sit down, I look at a TikTok, it could be 45 minutes.
Do you have a coffee before the gym or you just go?
I get one at, there's a Krispy Kreme next to my gym. I go there every day, get coffee.
Wow, the before ultimate the test. Gym,
right?
The ultimate test.
Before the gym.
I get coffee, no donuts.
No, what I'm saying, but do you drink the coffee like while you're working out?
Yeah, that is I work
people
out with
do
the
that
coffee.
A lot.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Well, he takes the bus to the gym. That's insane. When he told me that he wakes up and then takes an actual public bus to the gym and then goes to the gym and then takes the bus back and then showers, then it comes to work. I was like, that is insane.
Well, is it because of how good the gym is? Like, you just love that gym? Or is there not one
closer?
No,
it's close. It's like, it's a 5-minute bus ride.
Okay.
I prefer a city bike, but my wife started going to the gym with me and she's not able to bike.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's just not good
it's
on a
terrifying
bicycle.
To bike in this.
Yeah. So, but what happens if the bus is delayed? Does that piss you off or ever make you be like, I don't want to go to the gym now?
I use the MTA bus time app. It's a block away from my apartment. So I just, once it says like 5 minutes away, I run out.
Oh, right. I didn't even know they had an app.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah. I used to take the Crosstown 79th over to Stand Up New York.
Yeah, the bus is underrated in New York.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
The bus is like New York City buses. People don't like the bus for some reason. They only go subway. Depending on where you live, bus is the way to go.
Which is crazy considering the Foot Clan is running amok amongst the subway right now. It's like at least the bus is above ground. It's lit up. There's cops that you can like, you know, crawl over.
There's a bus driver who's out there with you.
For real. Like the bus to me is a far less threatening mode of transportation than going subterranean and dealing with the scabbed lunatics
of
the city.
Dude, Venetia, who works with me on the Christeries podcast, which is coming back, where we got those coming back in a month. She was on the train last week texting me and said, hey, like, you know, if you're taking the one train, just know there's some delays. I was just standing next to a dead body. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
She goes, we were all on the train. There was a guy laying on like the little two-seater, like, you know, like homeless guy with his head over with blood coming down his body. He had just been stabbed to death and they didn't even make the news. It was a train that she said she got off the train and they said, oh, train delay, unresponsive person. And she was like, I was on the train car. It was a dead man bleeding
Jesus
out
Christ,
that didn't
man.
Even make the news.
Yeah. Sick. But raise the prices, you know?
Yeah.
Like definitely add some tolls.
Congestion prices.
Yeah. Fucking jack up the budget.
Guys, tell us on the YouTube comments what Vito you like and what Vito you want to see. Powerlifting Vito, fat Vito, skinny Vito or Mexican woman Vito. All right.
So yeah,
that's it. I mean, hey, listen, it's a good show. Some things we had to cut. We're probably not going to put it on Patreon. But
we are open to be mocked at every level. So if it involved us, we would expose and let you guys see. But when it involves somebody else, we're
can't
not going to
do it.
Yeah,
we can't do it. The phone call we had, dude. By the way, the Italian woman manager on the phone is just. I always have to tell him, like, immediately, hey, by the way, you're on speakerphone. I'm in the car with my family. Because he'll, like, sometimes call me and be like, you got to see the ass in the city. And I'm just like, dude, can you just ask first? So that's another phone call that we have to edit stuff out because he just started going on a fucking tangent.
He's done that same thing.
Well, we have to cut the whole phone call.
Yeah, we have to delete the whole phone call. Should I call the Lincoln people right now, the Lincoln Navigator?
No. I think this was a fun day.
This was a good day. Come see me, christycomedy.com in the UK and the Netherlands. Patreon.com/christycomedy for all the fun. MikeCannonComedy.com.
Yeah.
What are your dates?
I'll be in Emmaus April 27th with Mike Feeney and Brendan Sagalo. May 11th, I'm in Poughkeepsie at Laugh It Up Comedy Club. May 16th through the 18th, I'll be in Batavia, Illinois. And more dates this summer. And yeah, keep an eye out for the special dropping in a couple months.
Like and subscribe to the pod, please. Turn on your post notifications. That really, really helps us. YouTube.com/ChristyComedy really helps us a lot. Chrissy Chaos on Instagram. That helps us a lot. We're really trying to grow this show.
Chrissy Chaos Pod.
Oh, yeah, and turning on post Chaos notifications Pod is huge now. Like, apparently, yeah, that's, like, the only way you can really see the content, yeah, that you want to see. So if you guys love the pod, just go to the actual account, click turn on the notifications, yes, and then you'll see every
get
single
those
post.
Push noties.
Get, yeah, those push noties. Chrissy Chaos Pod on Instagram. ChristyComedy.com on YouTube.
Don't be wag.
Don't be wag. Weak and gay. Even though gay people are strong and powerful, don't be wag. Go douche yourself. Season 50. Season 50 SNL host coming your way.
That's right. Life is precious. Don't ever make a joke, yes, otherwise.
That's it. Or else you're going to get arrested.